You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Tuesday. My name is Asher Lowe, and I am the site editor at Badgers Wire, a play-by-play broadcaster for many Badger sports. But most importantly, of course, I am your host right here on the Locked On Badgers podcast, bringing you the insider student perspective filled with stats, special guests, and all things Badger sports. A special guest from the Locked On podcast family joins today to break down the Michigan Wolverines. We're getting ready for Saturday with Isaiah Hull of Locked On Wolverines, talking with him about how the Wolverines have looked through three games, hint, not well, what the issues have been for them, where the blame should go, and a lot more about this Saturday's matchup with the Badgers. You can listen to Locked On Badgers wherever you get your podcast. You can play Locked On Badgers on your smart speakers by saying play podcast, Locked On Badgers. And if you're listening on Apple right now, it would be awesome if you could drop a review, drop a rating, and a comment on Apple. If you're on Spotify, hit that follow button. Make sure you know when we're posting Locked On Badgers. I will hit you up on Twitter at Locked On Badgers and at ALOW_33 for all the information about when new episodes are out. Let's get to that interview with Locked On Wolverines host Isaiah Hull, talking Michigan. Joining me in the Locked On Badgers podcast to get us ready for Wisconsin football on Saturday is the Locked On Wolverines host, Isaiah Hull. Isaiah, welcome to Locked On Badgers. First time I've had you on the show, I think.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. And yeah, it's kind of interesting going into this week, just given that, Badgers finally get to play again. Michigan, after looking otherworldly in week one, looks terrible lately. So I have no idea what to expect. So excited to break it down.
So let's get right into it. Michigan, you mentioned a struggle the last 2 weeks. I mean, especially week two. That was one of the more shocking losses of the Harbaugh era at home against Michigan State. Then week three, of course, against Indiana, a game that wasn't even that close. Didn't feel that close, to be honest, watching it. Never felt like Michigan had a real chance of winning that game. But week one, I mean, it's Minnesota. How can you evaluate this team through 3 weeks? It's a pretty weird stretch.
Well, it's been kind of odd just the way that Michigan's played some of these games because, I mean, it really is a tale of two teams. You watch week one. We always have heard offensive coordinator Josh Gattis talking about putting the players in a position to succeed. And it seemed like he was doing that in spades in week one. The offensive scheme seemed like it was, really it was balanced. They had a really good game plan. And the defense was pretty solid as well. Wasn't perfect, of course. I mean, the two new corners, but you could see some promise there. Last 2 weeks, it's been a completely different story. I feel like on both sides of the ball, the scheme has been terrible. The play calling has been too cute. Really, they haven't given any of these players really a chance to really do much of anything. Like, it's one thing with Michigan State where they got beat because primarily on the defensive side of the ball, they were just losing the deep balls, right? They kept Rocky Lombardi and the run game pretty much at bay for the majority of the game, but they were losing the 50-50 balls, and that allowed Jaden Reed to go out and have a career day in his second game. That they clearly had a strategy, and they went and exploited those defensive backs who were just clawing and grabbing at the beginning of the game, and the penalties, I think, made them a little bit less confident. Their technique has not been very good offensively. It just seems like they are spending so much time trying to figure out how to be tricksy, have misdirection, different things that I don't think you need to do if you're Michigan, right? Like, yeah, you can do it a little bit, but it seems like every play it's like they aren't going out there and saying we're more talented than you, we're going to line up and we're going to beat you that way. It's been more of a we're going to trick you. And I don't think you need to do it that way, but that's what Michigan's done the last couple of weeks, where it didn't really do that as much in week one. So, I mean, I think that the talent is there. I don't think that they're any less talented. They are young. It's a lot younger of a team than you're used to. But, I mean, it looked no further than the fact that Michigan only ran the ball for 13 yards last week. They didn't even try to run the ball. And that you're not going to win games just strictly off of trying to throw the ball. I mean, Joe Milton did fine. I mean, his receivers are dropping balls for certain. But, I mean, if you don't take the pressure off, you don't run the ball. I mean, they didn't even try to run Joe Milton last week, which, again, like the week before, you always heard about how the biggest thing that he has going for him is this big, strong arm The second thing that you hear going from him is this his ability to take off and run the ball, and that being that he's 6'5" and 245 pounds, I mean, it's hard to take him down. Week two against Michigan State, they didn't try to throw downfield at all. And week three against Indiana, they didn't even try to run him. So I just think that they're overthinking. They're trying to be the smartest man in the room, and it's just not working as far as offensively. Defensively, I mean, it's just, you know, having two young corners that are that really needed that non-conference play to get some confidence, because right now they just aren't very confident in their technique, and it's absolutely destroying them against teams that can throw the ball.
Michigan coming in at 1-2, not a record that, if I told you that before the year, through three games, any Michigan fan would have taken. If you're assessing some blame here, because there's a lot to go around, I'm going to give you the Isaiah Hull blame pie chart. If you can assess percentages of blame to different parts of this team, this coaching staff, where does the blame go?
Oh, that's just really difficult. I mean, I think all the blame goes on the coaching staff, and I'm not 100% certain as to who, right? Because you can blame Don Brown for not being multiple in his scheme, but that's kind of a misnomer. They've run plenty of zone in the last couple weeks. Yeah, his corners have been out on an island, but even when they aren't on an island, it's, you know, the teams have learned how to be able to pick it apart, right? They can see when you're in a zone and dump it underneath. They can see when they're in press man and chuck it deep. Offensively, obviously, I mean, I think it all falls on Josh Gattis for not being better, because if you have a defense that's struggling and you have, we've been hearing about speed and space and all the things the offense is going to be really good at. Obviously, Joe Milton's still been pretty good throughout the three games. But if you're not going to run the ball, you're not going to take advantage of what the team's strengths are. I mean, that falls on Gattis. So, I think it's really 33-33-33 between Jim Harbaugh, Josh Gattis, and Don Brown, right? Like, it's been a failure all across the board. You just got to figure out how to get the defense to be better. I mean, no pressure up front either, as far as the defensive line's concerned. I mean, Quiddy Pay's graded out really well, according to Pro Football Focus, been arguably the best defensive player in Big Ten play on the defensive side of the ball, according to Pro Football Focus, but hasn't gotten home since week one. And Michigan's defense is predicated on getting pressure up front, so that the that even if your corners aren't the best, then you're still forcing errant throws. Michigan hadn't really been doing that until the second half against Indiana, and by then it was just far too late. So I place equal blame upon the three coaches. I don't think it's the players' fault that they're not being put in the best position to actually get the job done.
The beer that you need to chillax on Saturday when you're watching a primetime Wisconsin football game, 7:30 on ABC, primetime against Michigan, that beer is Coors Light, the beer that is made to chill at Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado. You can get it shipped straight to your door at get.coorslight.com, guys. You're on your couch, you're on your computer, it's all you got to do, just chilling, no going to the store, no hassle with the market, the liquor store. On the computer, get.coorslight.com. Ships to your front door. It's that easy. Go to get.coorslight.com. Make sure to celebrate responsibly and enjoy the beer that is made to chill. You mentioned the Michigan State game is a game where Michigan tried to get tricky, and they're not Rutgers playing Ohio State, right? Did you watch any of that Rutgers-Ohio State game?
No, I was driving back from Indiana, but I heard about it.
That second half was about as tricky and weird and fun and strange as you could possibly get from a Rutgers perspective, and it worked, right? Because the talent level is so different. When you're Michigan trying to do that to Michigan State, I just don't really see the logic there.
No, and I didn't have as much of a problem with the Hassan Haskins wildcat plays down near the goal line, except for the fact that, I mean, you're by taking out Joe Milton, who can also run the ball, you're essentially, I mean, you're telegraphing what you're trying to do. And I mean, that cost them 4 points. I mean, they got a field goal, but they needed touchdowns. And how much different does that game look? I mean, they lost by 3 points. So how much different does that game look if they score a touchdown there, even though that, you know, there's also an element of overconfidence with this Michigan team. I don't feel like you've seen the same fire from the players. And again, I think that starts with Jim Harbaugh, you know, not having these guys fired up and ready to play the way they should. But I mean, again, they're, you watch all of the different formations that they throw out. Urban Meyer praised them after week one, saying that this was a true spread. Since then, it seems like they've gone to a more condensed formation. They're going away from what worked in week one. That's what doesn't make any sense. Again, smartest guys in the room is what they're trying to be. And you don't need to do that against a what looks to be a terrible Michigan State team. And I mean, a good Indiana team, but still an Indiana team that you should be able to beat regardless.
So talking about the broader Michigan football feel right now, before we get into that specific game on Saturday, how they match up against Wisconsin and all that, what is the level of hot seatness for Jim Harbaugh right now? Like, how many more losses can Michigan take? Is he done at the end of this year? Is there a number of losses you think that means he's done at the end of this year? Is he safe at the end of this year? What do you think?
I think there's a difference between what fans want at this point and what the reality of the situation is. I called this Indiana game being finally the referendum game. We would hear that every big game was a referendum game on him for the last 3 years, really. True. But I thought that this last one was really finally it. I didn't think that playing Iowa last year was a referendum game. But ultimately, I mean, it seems like it might be a vocal minority, but I think that minority is growing to where it's about even. I think there's a lot of people that really want to see Harbaugh gone. I would say that the majority do want Don Brown to be out because his defense has not been good at all in the last five games. I mean, they've won only one in the last five. And aside from, I thought they played pretty well against Alabama in the bowl game defensively, but and they played okay against Minnesota. But other than that, they've been terrible against Ohio State, Indiana, the Michigan State game, of course. So I think fans probably are ready to move on from Jim Harbaugh. I don't think that that's going to happen. He has another year left on his contract. I don't think Michigan's going to fire him, but he certainly could step down on his own. I think if you lose this game, it kind of spirals out of control in the sense of, you know, we've seen an improved Rutgers team. Not sure how they'll match up against Michigan, but if that Michigan team is reeling and feeling terrible about itself going into that game, playing on the road, I mean, it could spell absolute disaster. Honestly, right now, the only sure win that I see on the schedule is probably Penn State, which is not something you'd see or say normally, but I mean, Penn State, I thought Penn State was overrated anyway going into the season, but nonetheless, I mean, this looks like a Penn State team that is broken. Michigan's not quite there yet, but I think if they have another showing against Wisconsin similar to the last 2 weeks, then I think it's going to be – I mean, I think you have to start thinking about what changes you make, whether it's the head coach, the defensive coordinator, or whatever.
How do you see Joe Milton in Michigan matching up against Jim Leonard's physical 3-4, a defense that has just given everyone in the Big Ten problems over the last few seasons?
Well, I think that – Michigan's offense is built, if you're smart about it, not pretending that you're smart or trying to be too cute, Michigan's offense is built where it can essentially take advantage of any defense, like a good offense should. The problem is they aren't doing that. So I think it's hard to really gauge what that defense for Wisconsin is based off of one game. I think Illinois is particularly terrible. That said, I mean, we have the last year's track record. We know that Wisconsin is quite good, but we've seen good offenses take advantage of it, like you see in all across college football. If Michigan actually goes out and takes what the defense gives it, which is what it is built to do, right? Like Josh Gattis preaches speed and space, putting the defense in conflict. That's what it's built to do. You have to keep in mind Joe Milton's entering his fourth game as the starter. He's done a good but maybe not great job at recognizing what's coming at him. The offensive line has been somewhat in shambles, or at least it was this past week, because they had the two injuries at both of the tackles, and those are future NFL tackles that they have. And we're not really sure about the interior. So I'm really curious to see if Jalen Mayfield and Ryan Hayes play, it could certainly be a much different outing, but I don't like the matchup of the defensive line versus Michigan's offensive line if you don't have those two tackles. If you do, I think you stand a chance if you're Michigan, but they absolutely have to be at or close to full strength up there. The offensive line's, that's a tale, another tale of two teams. The offensive line looked incredible in week one and abysmal the last 2 weeks. So we'll see. I think that's where it all starts. You need good offensive line play if you're Michigan.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Go. That was very announcery voice with my Built Go. But here's what Built Go is. Built Go is an energy gel that will keep you lasting through that wall that you hit in the middle of the day. It's tiny, it fits in your pocket, and you take it right when you're about to crash. It's like a 5-hour energy, except it has less caffeine, but actually works. It works well with no crash afterwards. It's the way to break through that mental or physical wall every single day with three delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate, coconut, chocolate mint, my personal favorite. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is this fast-absorbing thing that gets into your system, easy on the stomach, and works with no crash afterwards. Visit BuiltGo.com, B-U-I-L-T, capital G, capital O.com, BuiltGo.com, and use the promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, all caps. You'll get 20% off your next order with that code LOCKED at BuiltGo.com. One thing I'll add is that something that has given Wisconsin problems, and there hasn't been much, but one element that has given Wisconsin defenses problems is the quarterback run. It gave us problems in week one against Illinois, against Brandon Peters, a guy that you don't usually think of, you know, a guy that's going to run for 75 yards, but he did. It was about the only way Illinois found offense in that game. Adrian Martinez has given Wisconsin some problems doing that. So I think that this is a time for Joe Milton and Michigan to get back to that a little bit. 6'5", 240. I didn't think of that in my head. When you mentioned Joe Milton's name, I don't think 6'5", 240 for some reason. He just didn't seem that big to me when I watch him. But that is, I mean, that's almost Cam Newton size. So,
well, that's who he gets compared to, because, yeah. I mean, he has all the same attributes. And listen, if Michigan does that, if they actually run the ball with Joe Milton, they'll start to stand a chance. But the problem is, again, they're being too cute. What did Indiana do poorly to open this season? Defend the run. Michigan didn't even try to run against them. And that was one of my keys going into the game, is run the ball. And they didn't even try. So, I mean, you would think that the quarterback run would play a very key component. Milton kept 8 times for 52 yards in week one against Minnesota. And that was really kind of what helped break Minnesota defensively. And I'm not confident that Michigan's going to take advantage of it against Wisconsin. That's kind of the issue, is you look at what Wisconsin's weaknesses might be. I'm not sure that Michigan's going to go out there and say, let's take advantage of their weaknesses. They're just too stodgy in what they think they want to do.
Well, with that lack of confidence, I'll leave you with a prediction. How does this game go on Saturday?
You know what? I haven't really gotten there yet from a mental standpoint and trying to figure out. I mean, on paper going into the season, I thought Michigan was going to win that game until Graham Mertz became the starting quarterback. I did not have confidence in Jack Cohn to be able to lead an offense without John.
That's a dangerous take to have on this podcast.
Well, without Jonathan Taylor, that's the whole point. And there's so many people that just thought Wisconsin was going to keep rolling. Listen, I understand that you plug in running backs like you just going through a vending machine and throwing nickels in. At the same time, Jonathan Taylor was otherworldly, and I didn't really have the confidence that Jack Cohn was going to be able to lead that guy, because he was very limited, right? Like last year, like he was very good at what he was asked to do, but he wasn't asked to really do that much. I think it's a different story with Graham Mertz, but I don't know how much this COVID layoff is going to affect Wisconsin. I mean, I've seen your Twitter, and you've said that Friday would be the first day that Mertz would be able to be back.
Wednesday.
Practice.
Yeah. Okay. Friday is the first day he could technically play a game, but the game's obviously Saturday, so he'd be good to play. Wednesday is the first practice day.
So I'm not sure what 2 days of practice, what that's going to end up looking like, in the sense of how ready he's going to be. So I hate to leave you on some kind of a cliffhanger, but I don't know that I have a prediction as to how I see this playing out, because I don't know what Wisconsin's going to be going in, having been idle for so long, and Michigan does not seem to want to play to its strengths or to other teams' weaknesses. I am going to predict a Wisconsin win in this game. I know that much. The question is by how many. I don't know. It could be anywhere from 3 to 20 something if depending on what Michigan team shows up.
Well, it's fair. I didn't ask you. The reason I didn't ask you about Wisconsin's offense against Michigan's defense, we don't really know what Wisconsin's offense is going to look like. It's pretty hard to preview right now, given we don't know if Graham Mertz is technically going to play. He can play. That's in the fine print, but will he play? I think he will, but will he play well, right? Been in quarantine for a couple weeks, doing all this activity progression, as the Big Ten says. Who knows?
Well, the accuracy that he showed against Illinois, I mean, that's a huge danger issue for Michigan, given the cornerback play. The safeties have been great, but there, you know, you can only do so much. And to me, that's a big problem area. So, I mean, that's why I would say, regardless of any layoff, Wisconsin has to be the favorite, no matter what Vegas says.
Isaiah, thank you so much for hopping on, and we'll have you back on soon, hopefully. Maybe one day in a Big Ten championship game. Who knows where Michigan's going to get to down the road.
We'll see. It might be a second place game. Not that Michigan will be in second place, but Wisconsin certainly could, depending on what Northwestern and some of these other teams keep doing that are just shocking.
Right. I'm afraid of that Northwestern game, I'm not going to lie. So we could see a championship week. You never know.
Never know. Depends on what happens.